Welcome to Art Watch, an enlightening foray into the lives of working artists. Come on in, step into our studio, and listen to something unique about the artistic development of some of our friends. I'm your host, Elisha. Have you ever had a chance encounter? Maybe something seemingly insignificant that turned out to be an important, even pivotal moment in your life? Today, we are listening to the story of a Washington, D.C.-based artist who lucked into discovering a medium that brings meaning to her life and helps elevate the lives of others. Please welcome Andrea Blackman. All right, welcome, Andrea, to Art Watch. We're really excited to have you here.
I'm nervous to be here.
Well, I'm really excited. Andrea is an incredible artist, definitely one of my favorites. You know, I really do feel lucky to have the opportunity to know a lot of my favorite artists. I feel like a lot of people, they go into art museums and they connect with an artist's work, and that person's been dead for 150 years. And I feel really lucky to be able to sit down with you now and talk with you about your work. So can you give us a little bit about your background?
My mother was a seamstress. And so when I was 10 years old, I asked her to show me how to sew. And I think that sort of started my journey, really, into fiber. I was sewing my own clothes. So in fourth and fifth grade, I was wearing clothes to school that I had made. And then anytime anybody wanted to teach me something, I was ready to learn. So I learned how to crochet. I learned how to do needlework. I learned beadwork. I needed my hands busy, and it always seemed to involve needle and thread. And then one day someone suggested I take a loom that was taking up space at a job I had. And I initially didn't want it. And this is to show you just how petty I can be. I had a roommate at the time, and I told her, I said, you know, they want me to take this loom, but I just don't know that I need another hobby. And she said, well, if you don't want it, I want it. And I just thought, well, I don't want her to have it, so I'm going to take it. And it was amazing because it really spoke to me, because I loved math growing up. And weaving is all about math. It's all about, you know, shapes and formulas and, you know, percentages and fractions and all that kind of stuff. So I just started on my weaving journey, and it just somehow led me to here and now.
It's pretty amazing how those two marry and blend. And you also work kind of in a scientific field as well, professionally. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Not scientific. I work with adults with developmental disabilities. I went to school and became a recreational therapist. You know, using recreation as a means of helping people. So many people, I used to work in a psych ward in a hospital, and it was a crisis ward. So it was, you know, just normal people who suddenly something happens in their life and they just can't cope and needed to be hospitalized for a short period of time. And, learning how to find ways of coping, people don't realize how much recreation can help with that. You know, when you're feeling depressed, go running around outside, go take a walk, paint a picture. You know, there's so many things that you can do that help you. And so all of that just kind of fueled my desire to research and learn new things. I was always looking for something new to learn because I never knew what would reach a person. So it's not really scientific. It's social services, I guess they call it, or human services.
So you touched on something which I think is interesting, and it's something that I've observed about your art. And it's that when you were pursuing this therapeutic role, you were looking for ways that would connect with people directly. It's not some ego thing. You're not just making a statement for yourself. There's something about your work that's really inviting to the viewer as well.
I guess I work very intuitively. I get an idea and I just ruminate on it. I might look up words. Sometimes I even go around and ask people, what does this mean to you? And just listen to what they're saying and think about how what they say makes me feel. And if I can see what they're saying, it depends on what it is. The show that I did with Susie was really difficult because there were just so many different themes and each theme had a different feeling. And for each theme, I must have had 5 or 6 different ideas running around in my head. And I have volumes written about, well, I could do this and I could do that. And just settling on one was hard.
And of course, the show that we're referring to with Suzanne Crane was the incredible Two Artists Squaring Off, which premiered here at the Freeborn County Arts Initiative and then traveled all throughout Minnesota. Now, Andrea, another thing that I know about you is that you are wildly competitive. You have an incredible competitive streak.
Oh, are you talking about that sword fight?
Yeah. Have you been in any sword fights recently, any duels?
I'm embarrassed by that sword fight. I don't know what came over me. I think I was just overwhelmed. That was so stressful. I never really considered myself an artist. But Susie, when I first met her, I think that was kind of the beginning of starting to feel artistic, even though I still go through that comparison. Sometimes when I look at what other people are doing and then I look at what I've done and I think, oh, I'm just not that good. I'm never going to be taken seriously. So why do it? And that's what I'm always fighting against, is stop comparing yourself to people and just do what you do. I don't even know if I'm making any sense.
You absolutely are. And I think we've touched on something that is so at the heart of so many things that working artists go through. And it doesn't matter if you're a musician, fiber artist, painter, photographer, anybody creative goes through this process. And I think it's a really good thing to reflect on that and talk about that and philosophize about that, because that's one of the biggest things that can just slam the brakes on your creative output.
Yeah, I do have a friend. I belong to an art quilt group, and the teacher often says, you shouldn't should on yourself.
Andrea, looking back on your artistic development, what are your favorite highlights?
Where I work, every year we have to do a show. The highlights for me have been working on those shows. And even though those are not about my art, it's about the people that I'm working with. And having people from the outside see what they're doing and how complicated the weaving is for someone who maybe can't read, who, you know, needs help with cooking their food, and, you know, they need all these supports in their life, yet they can get on a computer and design something for weaving and then warp it and thread their looms and weave this thing off. I'd say that. Because that never would have happened if I had not taken that loom from my roommate.
It's amazing how even the small little twists and turns can really alter the course of everything else.
Yeah.
What do you see for yourself in the future?
I see myself doing more shows. I don't know. Sometimes I think, you know, it'd be great to be in, you know, in a museum, you know, to have some, you know, the Smithsonian. You know, I live in D.C., so, you know, it'd be great if the Smithsonian would want something of mine. But in the end, I think I want to be an influencer in the sense that I want to see more people who I work with do well. That's what I want more than anything, is to influence other people to just explore that part of themselves and to grow and develop and to be spectacular. You know, one of your question was, you had asked me who was my first believer. And I really had a hard time with that because I always had people asking me to do things for them, but it wasn't because they thought I was a good artist. It was, oh, you know how to do this for me. You know, that kind of thing. And I had done a show with Susie, and it was my very first show ever, art show with Susie in 2008, and we called it In Cahoots. Susie's so great with coming up with names. And Susie kept pressuring me to do another show, and it's interesting. I don't have any photos from that first show, but, I have to say that I think, you know, my family, I don't think they still think of me as an artist. They just think of me as somebody who weaves because I don't paint. But my older sister came with me to that show. And she came with me to the one I just did. And of all people, I think she's probably my biggest supporter.
Andrea, where should we send people who want to find more of your work?
You can send it to andreablackman.com.
Of course, a beautiful website with pictures. Had a hand in putting that together myself. Andrea, thank you so much for being on Art Watch. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was fun.
And thank you for listening to Art Watch. If you enjoyed the show, please consider subscribing, writing a review on Apple Podcasts, leaving a tip at leaveatip.org, or if you can, support the production with a small monthly donation. Information on this, links to Andrea Blackman's work, and future episodes of this show can be found at www.artwatch.us. A very special thanks to this episode's sponsor, the Fribourne County Arts Initiative. Located in the historic Bessesen Former Opera Palace in Albert Lea, Minnesota, the FCAI is an arts nonprofit that offers a wide range of programming, from visual arts to virtual open mic nights. Visit them online at www.fcai.us. Thank you to Anchor, our distributing platform, and to the crew at Western Sound for their TalkSync app. We have a great show next time. I hope you'll join us. Till then, take care.